I'm Susanna Bransgrove, and this is Relativity, a new podcast sharing the lives of women in family businesses. Each of our guests' stories reflect the challenges and joys of navigating relationships with family members and participation in the family business. Join us as we dive below the surface into the real lives of women in family businesses. Welcome to Relativity, the podcast for women in family business. I'm Susanna Bransgrove, your host, and I'm really fortunate and happy to have Kim Tara from Gallifrey Wines with me today. The business was established in 1977, just 1 year before Kim was born, and when her father passed away in 2003, Kim was only 25 years old and certainly stepped into her father's role at a very early stage in life. Certainly a steep learning curve for her, which we look forward to hearing all about. And Kim also has two children who are not working in the business as yet because they are not quite old enough. They're 11 and 6 years old. But it's going to be also interesting to hear all about how Kim is looking forward to what the future might bring and developing her own skills and also looking at the future of the family business. Thank you so much, Kim, for joining us today. It's really great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I did mention that your family business was started in 1977. Can you tell us a little bit more about the early years? And I'm guessing you've been working with your father from a fairly early stage. I would love to hear a bit more about that.
Yeah, so my parents are original tree changers. They gave up their job in the computer industry to live in my father's from rural Western Australia, and he was very, very keen to come back to rural Western Australia, but he didn't want to be a farmer. So that opened up to a whole heap of new agricultural industries, I guess, like the wine industry. And in 1977 or a bit before that, they dug holes all over Western Australia to find the particular patch of land that we had. In 1978, boom, I was born. So very much literally growing up in the wine industry or with my parents within the business. We have a vineyard here. My mum planted every cutting and she had this big sort of Mary Poppins style pram and the cuttings were on one side and I was a baby on the other side. And then as I got older, you know, she started to train the vines up onto the trellising and I used to run around the vineyard, we'd pack a lunch and, you know, take all the, you know, as I got older, I had more and more jobs like grape picking, you know, it's family business. So it's a bit of a slave labor thing to have children and yes. You can't help but always get roped in, I guess. And so that was very much my childhood. And then as I got older, I was quite split. I had two things. I was very good at art and I was very good at wine. And I ended up choosing to go down the art path because I had an incredible opportunity there. And like most people in a family business, I watched my parents work very, very hard and I thought I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to live in my dad's shadow as well. He was such a big personality in the industry. So I couldn't see a spot, I guess, for myself, or I didn't want to go down that path. And I went down the art path and I did that very successfully for 7 years. And then my father sat me down and we had a bit of a talk about his retirement because in 10 years' time he was going to retire at 65. And he was sort of like, well, do we set the business up to sell or do we set it up to pass it on to you to as in a managed position? And I'm an only child, so I didn't have any brothers or sisters. It was just myself. And so we spoke about it, and this is the thing about family business, I guess you become very emotionally attached, and I wasn't keen to let Gallifrey go, so I said I'd take it on as a managed position. I'm not sure what I was thinking at the time, whether or not I could do both, but what we did is, and that's what I did, and I started working for a little while, but unfortunately that vintage in 2003 he got diagnosed with cancer and then he passed away 3 months after that. So a big learning curve for me, and I guess when he passed away, we literally had a winery full of wine, a stock room full of wine that needed to be sold, and a vineyard that was about to burst and start its new season for the following year. So, Yeah, it was a challenging time, but now I guess that was 2003 and it's 15 plus years now, and we're heading into next year celebrating our 45th anniversary. So wow. It's been a big couple of years.
It has been. I know this is probably going to be a bit of a difficult question, but also I'll just be curious to know. So your father did have a conversation with you before he was diagnosed, and did that make it easier for you to get through what was coming next? And are you looking back on this, on that now, and thinking, I'm actually grateful that we had the chance to talk about things rather than, I mean, 3 months is not a long period of time to have, is it?
No, but I see where you're coming from a mentally being prepared, I guess. The funny thing is, what he was going to do is he was going to train me for the next 10 years and set up the business and change the business a bit. But what ended up happening is for literally like 3 or 4 months, I was stuck on this labelling line and how to do labelling, and which I'd already did quite a lot, but it was more about setting up the machine and running the whole thing from where to go. And then when Vintage came, I thought, oh, I'll get in there and I'll be a part of it. But no, I was still on this labelling line because he wanted to protect me from the hard work, which I get. You know, there's a lot of hard work and it's not an easy industry to be in. And he was trying to protect me from that a lot. And I don't think that possibly did me or him any favours. But, I mean, who could predict what was going to happen? Because he thought he had 10 years.
Yeah, of course.
So he thought he had plenty of time, and it just didn't work like that. So I guess it was a quick learning curve, but at the same time being brought up in the industry, I guess there were some foundations there.
That's good. It's interesting you talked about the emotional attachment you had to the business, even though you might in the beginning not have worked as much in it. And it's one thing I often talk to families about, that whether in or outside of the business, or whether children are in it or out of it, there is an emotional connection to it. So what is it that you love so much about the family business and about the winery?
For me, personally, it's seeing the full circle, because now I have my own children, and they're running around in the vineyard doing the things that I used to do, and whinging just as much as I used to do. And I'd be like, when I was your age, I used to do this. So, you know, put your back into it, you'll be fine. But it's, I guess, seeing that full circle from my own perspective growing up in the industry, and then seeing my children growing up in the industry, which again is a very emotive or emotional perspective on the business.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. So apart from having been, you know, the slave labour, as you've put it, what are some of the other elements? What is sort of challenging from your perspective working with your family in business, and apart from, of course, your dad holding you back from all the hard labour?
Cool. I find lots of it challenging and a lot of aspects challenging. And I guess overcoming it is just a case of starting at the beginning and working your way through the problem. And once I learnt that to not be afraid of things and to just go, you know, for example, the bottling machine might break. I'm not particularly mechanical. It's just a case of undoing a few screws, having a look, and you're solving the problem. And once you get past the fear of it, you can, you know, you can do a lot. And it's really about a bit of research and, yeah, solving the problem, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. Working your way through it, whatever it may be. And there's definitely in my business, there's, you know, I'm everything from, you know, cleaning, marketing, making wine, like all sorts. So you just can't be pigeonholed into one role.
No, definitely not. And I'm sure everybody who's listening would be agreeing with you on that. Out of interest, are there other family members, or how many other family members are working alongside you at the moment?
Yeah, so I work primarily with my mother. So my mother is still involved, and I work with my husband.
Ah, so my next question, of course, is all about how you manage family relationships and working relationships. So I guess there is this relationship with your mum, so it'd be wonderful if you could reflect on that, but also working with your husband. I'd also like to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's just important that everyone stays in their own lane and has ownership of their role and their projects. And I think it's really difficult in a family business because really everyone's a manager or a general manager or a CEO. We're not tiered as such. We're all on the same level. And that's why, I remember many moons ago we had to get business cards done and we all argued over who was the general manager and who was the CEO. General manager and CEO are such similar roles and because we're all at management level. It's quite tricky, I guess, to navigate that a little bit because then you have a business that's full of three managers, really, not in a tiered section like other businesses would be. And from that perspective as well, I think it's really important that when you're trying to do a project and you're trying to get approval or talk to someone about it, to actually do the math. So easy in family business or in when you work for yourself, you know the answer in your head and the answer may be right, but you still need to do the math and the work and put it on paper in the form of a business plan or a project plan or whatever works for you, because when you can sit there and eloquently show someone from start to go, this is the project, this is how it's going to happen, this is how we're going to budget it or do it, and these are the outcomes, then you're more than likely going to have someone come back and say, oh yeah, that's really good, let's do it, as opposed to when you're working in a family business and someone's like, no, you can't do that, or what we joke around and call it like the ministry of no, because I know it's very frustrating when you work with family and you're trying to get projects across and you're constantly coming up with people saying no to you.
Yeah, I can imagine that. More specifically, how do you manage not to take work home with your husband when you spend, because you do want to also have family time and make sure you talk about other things? Do you find it difficult or reasonably easy to have some boundaries around that?
I don't really have a lot of boundaries. The lines are blurred. And I actually don't mind that. I will quite often... You just get through the day, you might come up for lunch, put on a load of washing. So there's that pros and cons of working where you live as well, or bringing, because we work where we live as well. So we never get off the property and today we're in my office, which is in my house because I've got young children. So that's where my office needs to be these days. So definitely the lines are blurred, but I don't mind it and I don't find it problematic as such. I mean, we do need to get away, and it is by far the hardest thing is to have holidays and get away from the property for more, or, have time off that's more than one day or 2 days, especially at the moment. So that's just something you've got to navigate and make time for and make the commitment and hope for the best that everything doesn't come crumbling down and when you're away. I think, doing things like health and, being physically active is really hard in a family business because it's pretty much family and business, and that's
not
that's
much room. Not much room for anything
very
else.
Blurred, but I just manage it. I don't know. And I'm fine with it. I'm happy with it. My husband's happy with it. And I don't see too many problems in that area.
Good. Well, that's really great to hear. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you mentioned before that your first career was really in art and you were very successful with that. Of course, you were working for yourself, I'm guessing. Very different to be working with your father or working alongside your mum and your husband. So what might be one lesson that you've learned about yourself in that very different work environment of being in a family business?
I've learned some great business skills. I know that it's not exactly about about myself, but I've learned some great business skills, and I've learned resilience, a lot of resilience and business skills and those sorts of things. So I've learned lots of things, and I can be very tangible with my things that I've learned. And probably the biggest lesson for us, which isn't about myself, but it's I was lucky enough to be involved in a mentoring program, and we redid our business plan, and that was huge. And that comes back to that, writing everything down, having a plan, being focused, working your way through those problems, and then updating it like every 5 or 10 years. And I think that is probably one of the biggest things that people probably don't do within their own business and family business sometimes is you know, have you done a business plan? It's so boring. Oh, but you know, once you get that down, it is such a skill to have and to move forward with. And I think then the pieces of the puzzle, which is you as your family, kind of fit in as well.
Wonderful. Now, we always like to also celebrate. I mean, there are always so many different parts to being in a family business. There's the love, there are the challenges, but there are also the achievements and celebrations. So what kind of achievements have you been able to celebrate with your family and business?
Well, I think surviving that time when my father passed away and the fact that we're coming into our 45th anniversary. The wine industry is not an easy industry to be in. And I think that in itself is an achievement. We're doing, I think, a bit biased, but I think our wine's pretty good. So I'm really happy. I think our range looks really good. And that's probably a lot to do a little bit with that question before. I know my mum's spoken to me about it, where I've just been very, when something, you know, how do I improve things? I just constantly trying to push that envelope and, you know, what's wrong? How can I improve this wine? And not taking no for an answer, I guess, and just constantly trying to work through the problems or through the, I don't know, it's not really a problem, but through the ideology or the contents to make this wine. And so we've been doing that, and I think that's been really a great achievement to move forward with the business when you look at the quality of our wine X amount of years ago. No offence to Dad, but, there's a big difference in our scores and stuff like that, and there's been a lot of hard work and thought behind that.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really wonderful. It's a really beautiful story, and I'm so glad that you're actually putting some emphasis on that. And it's going to be wonderful for your family to obviously have the 45th anniversary, and congratulations. We all be looking forward to all the social media on that and be happy to share that around. Now, so Kim, tell me, is there a funny story about your family and business that you can share with us?
Okay. So a little off topic, but it just brings, I guess, a little bit about how much your environment and your family business, especially when it's blurred like mine, influences your children or your growing up. And so we work in the wine industry, and one of the things we do is we squash the grapes to analyze if it's ripe or not. And as a result, you get beautiful grape juice, and the kids love it. I mean, it's sugar, you know, sweet, sugary fruit juice. So they love it. So they're always down there, especially when they're a bit younger, drinking the samples, and you'd be like, not too much. And so we'd often get them, and plus they get to squish the grapes, which is all very, beautiful and tangible.
They yucky and fun.
So we often get them involved in doing the grape samples when we're doing vintage, pre-vintage. And this one day we had all the samples and we're doing it, and my mum, who is known as Nanny, was serving customers in cellar door, and we gave the sample to my son Jack and said, can you take it into Nanny to show her? I didn't realise there were customers there at the time, so he took them along anyway. And Nanny was great. She was like, my mum Linda, she was like going, oh, this is my grandson Jack, and he's got some grape juice here, and we get to try it. And the customers were going, oh, that's lovely. And so what, you've got grape juice there? And Jack looked at them and said, no, it's Cabernet Sauvignon. So at the age of like 5, he had a clear vocabulary of what grapes and varieties were, and how strange it was that they didn't know it was Cabernet Sauvignon.
That's really lovely. Oh, that's awesome. So clearly there's a winemaker in the making.
Yeah, so I guess it just shows a little bit about that. They say when you're young, the smells and the environment play a big part of you growing up, and I know I grew up in the industry and clearly or hopefully there was some of that for me, and now there's some of that for them. Plus it's very funny that they are so well educated in the world of wine, even though they can't drink it yet.
That's really great. Thank you so much for sharing that. We're unfortunately coming to the end of our podcast. So, Kim, if I asked you if there was one piece of advice that you could give to anybody thinking about getting into a family business or to those even working already with their family, what might that be?
Well, I've spoken about a few of them already. I think a business plan's so important, or the concept of doing math or putting things down on paper. I think it's really important for families to have their role within the business. Interestingly, I think one of the things that make family businesses successful is you tend to have the eye on a bigger picture. We always are on the big picture building a little empire, whatever it may be in family business. And so that's never a problem. It's always the foundations and the bits underneath, which are things like business plans and having roles and being focused on a day-to-day level. And I think succession plan is another one that's quite a tricky one for people to grapple with, something we probably didn't have to. Our succession plan was a little bit more head-on than most people's, but I think succession plan is really important. I think it's really difficult in family business, especially generational family businesses. You don't want to be 60 and finally getting your hands on the books kind of thing, you know. I think it's really important for parents and kids. That's always a tricky dynamic, and I think it's really important that you try and work that out so that you have control when you're a little bit, I mean, we're in our 40s now, so we have a nice bit of control where we've got a bit of experience, but we're moving forward and we're building something, and we're not being too much held back by senior members in our business. But I know that's also another really big thing within family businesses, and I think it's really important that you work towards common goal there so that people don't feel like they're being stifled by whatever politics within the business play or family business plays.
That's really great advice. Thank you so much for that, Kim. And I look forward to episode 2 with you in about 10 years' time when your children are a bit older and you're trying to manage them. That's going to be a really interesting one. Well, again, thank you so much, Kim. Looking forward to staying in touch with you and following you and Gallifrey Wines and see what's going to be in store next year for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. I'm Susanna Bransgrove, and this is Relativity, a new podcast sharing the lives of women and family businesses. This podcast is brought to you by Women and Family Business, Bris Podcast Hub, and PodWizard.